Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 42 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Shamari Mosley.
With that work ethic and attitude and solid education that comes out, especially out of the PACE engineering program.
A telecommunications company is expanding their Moorhead operation.
Two petitions to impeach Kentucky's governor have been dropped.
Vaccine appointments are getting harder to secure.
A vaccine scam is hitting the Commonwealth.
The rate of kids who vape is going up during the pandemic.
In sports, Moorhead State golf and volleyball are in action today.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Rain and snow showers overnight with mostly cloudy skies and a low around 32. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
A telecommunications company that added a Moorhead office in 2015 is set to expand operations there later this year. The Regent Corporation recently closed on the purchase of a new 48,000-foot facility in the MMRC Industrial Park. Moving operations there will permit the company to increase production fivefold. Alice DeSanto is the Associate Vice President of Marketing for Regent. She says that means more jobs for the area as well.
Part of the plan is to add 26 new jobs, but I certainly see that, especially considering how much we've grown in just the 5 years that of being here, five plus years of being here, I definitely foresee that we'll exceed that number.
An exact date has yet to be set, but DeSanto says the company is shooting for a grand opening at the new facility to take place sometime this summer.
The committee tasked with handling multiple impeachment petitions against the state leaders has dropped two of the three petitions against Governor Andy Beshear. But a fight over documents is brewing. Two recently submitted Beshear impeachment petitions, one from a group calling itself Take Back Kentucky and another by Kentucky Liberty PAC, were dropped by the committee Friday. Chair Jason Nemes offered this brief explanation.
We decided that the second Beshear petition and the third Beshear petition were insufficient on their face. And in more information, I won't be providing, but they were not sufficient on their face. They didn't meet the statutory requirements, so they were dismissed summarily without any further steps being taken.
But the original petition calling for the removal of Governor Beshear remains under review. WDRB reports the impeachment panel has asked the governor's office to produce a chain of communications leading up to his decisions to enact travel bans and enforce restrictions on in-person church services. The deadline to hand over the documents has passed, and now lawmakers are threatening to subpoena the materials. As of Friday afternoon, the governor's office had not yet responded to a request for comment. Beshear has previously defended his actions as fully within his authority.
COVID-19 vaccine appointments have been hard to come by, and now some of those lucky people who scored appointments are realizing that's still not a guaranteed shot. A change in vaccine allocation that affected many people's appointments. Cynthia Ray and her husband were among the group of people whose appointments got canceled last week due to doses no longer being available. She tells WKYT she checks every day at all hours for appointment openings.
He looked and found that two had canceled, and that's how we even got the appointments in the first place. And we were excited about doing it, and then it fell through. I was just really disappointed because I'm really just trying to stay healthy. I want to get through this and be able to see my grandkids again.
Governor Beshear says it's just an inconvenience that can be expected with such limited supply.
The Better Business Bureau says recipients of the COVID-19 vaccine should not post their vaccination cards on social media. The BBB says scammers and con artists are able to use the information from the card for fraudulent purposes. The warning was in preparation for Tuesday's opening of a mass vaccination site at the Kentucky Horse Park's All-Tech Arena. Heather Clary is from the Lexington branch of the BBB. She tells LEX18 posting a vaccination card is not as innocent as it seems.
That has their personal information on it and the date which they've gotten the vaccine and when they might get a second one. The BBB is warning that you should not show these on social media. Some con artists are already selling fake COVID vaccine ID cards, and they may be using the same information that they're getting from people they see online. Even a date of birth can be enough for that con artist to take off and steal your identity.
Clary says those who want to share should instead post a picture of the Band-Aid on the injection mark.
Many people recovering from COVID-19 are still dealing with the aftermath of the disease, especially migraines. Dr. Brian Plato is a leading neurologist at Norton Healthcare and is treating post-COVID patients. He tells Wave 3 News he's seeing two kinds of COVID patients right now, those suffering onset migraine symptoms post-COVID, and those who have had migraines in the past but at a lower frequency. Plato says typical patients suffer with migraines for 4 to 72 hours, while post-COVID patients are having migraines that last for days, weeks, and even months at a time.
It is very uncommon for individuals with migraine to experience 24/7 constant headache that just never goes away. However, in some of these patients that we're seeing coming in with headache following infection with COVID, many of them are experiencing just that.
Plato predicted that with new mutations in the virus, studying migraines will become even more important than before. Migraines have become a key component in detecting COVID-19 in its earliest stages.
A recent survey shows more than a third of Kentucky middle and high schoolers say the pandemic has increased their use of vaping and tobacco products. The survey of 400 middle and high school students across 22 counties was conducted in November and December by the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky in partnership with Kentucky Youth Advocates. Abigail Berman is a junior at McCracken County High School. She says the beginning of the pandemic, kids relied on vaping to pass the time.
They found it as a way to cure their boredom. There was no way to go spend money on clothes or food or anything. They could go spend their money on tobacco products because the gas stations remained open. And it was just a way to be social in those times of not going to school.
E-cigarette use among children and teens in Kentucky doubled between 2016 and 2018. Emerging research has shown young people who use them are up to 7 times more likely to get COVID-19 than non-e-cigarette users.
Local doctors say they're hoping Super Bowl events won't lead to another spike in COVID cases. WMKY's Josh Grogan has more.
For nearly a month, Indiana and Kentucky have tracked a steady decline in new COVID-19 cases. Local hospitals told Wave 3 News they're preparing for a potential surge after Sunday's Super Bowl events. To make sure that doesn't happen, doctors with the University of Louisville Health say people need to continue to follow social distancing, washing hands, and wearing a mask. Individuals who believe they have been exposed should quarantine for 5 to 7 days and then get tested. For WMKY News, I'm Josh Grogan.
The Prestonburg Police Department is preparing to add the city of Allens to its patrols. The cities have created an interlocal police agreement in January after the termination of Allens Police Force. Prestonburg Police Captain Ross Shirtliff tells WSAZ that there are 17 police officers in Prestonburg, enough to handle the new territory, and both communities can expect high-quality police service.
The residents of the city of Prestonburg are not going to notice any difference whatsoever in the service that they've come to expect and that we are expected to deliver to them, and we strive to deliver to them. The residents of the city of Allen, on the other hand, will see a stark contrast to what they're used to, and that when they call, they're going to have police officers responding instantly.
Shirtliff says the department is working to build relationships in Allen as its officers begin to patrol and familiarize themselves with the new territory.
During February, young people are learning about healthy relationships and how to stop abuse before it starts. February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. Statistics say 1 in 3 teens experience abuse from a romantic partner. Susie McBride leads a peer violence prevention program at Defiance High School, where the senior says they discuss relationship abuse.
You're going to show the negative sides of a relationship, such as like manipulation, controlling. You have to show the positives with it too. So what communication looks like, what trust looks like.
The peer violence prevention program can be very beneficial to teens. It discusses what are known as the red and green flags of relationships.
The Veterans Club welcomed returning and new veterans for their first equine therapy session of the year on Saturday. Jeremy Harrell is the Veterans Club president. He tells LEX18 the organization provides resources to Kentucky veterans to help improve their mental health and form a community after they return from the battlefield.
I don't want a single soul to ever think that they can't get help that they need and that they're not good enough or that they're broken. We're not broken, we just need a little help, right? We just need a hand up, and that's what we try to accomplish here.
The Equine Therapy Program is hosted on the Savvy Ones Horsemanship Ranch in Taylorsville, Kentucky. To make an appointment to participate in the Equine Therapy Program, visit the Veterans Club website.
The Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education is urging education leaders to take action to combat declining college enrollment in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. WMKY's Heather Fannin has more.
A statement from the council says the latest data shows undergraduate enrollment at four-year public universities declined 2.1% last fall. The Kentucky Community and Technical College system saw enrollment drop 10.5% last semester. The council passed a resolution last week noting the decline and citing fears that educational and economic opportunities in Kentucky could be harmed. The group is calling for Council President Aaron Thompson to work with stakeholders to mitigate the declines. For WMKY News, I'm Heather Fannin.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, a 30% chance of rain and snow showers, cloudy with a high near 42. Tuesday night, a chance of rain showers, snow showers, and freezing rain, mostly cloudy with a low around 28. Wednesday, freezing rain likely, cloudy skies with a high near 34. Wednesday night, rain or freezing rain, then snow showers in the early morning hours, and a low around 27. Thursday, showers likely, possibly mixed with freezing rain in the afternoon hours, with a high near 32. Thursday night, a chance of snow showers and freezing rain, cloudy with a low around 22. Friday, mostly cloudy, with a high near 31.
On our feature segment today, a new legislation that could impact local breweries is in the works. WMKY's Daria Denisenko has the story.
Brewers may be able to bypass mandatory distributors and have more control of who they are selling their product to. This will have a great impact on local breweries like Sawstone and Moorhead. Sawstone co-owner Blake Nickel says breweries have little control of who they sell their product to, and the distribution process is tedious.
It has to go to a distributor, and in order to get that distributor to even see you as a potential customer for them, you'd have to be making good beer, but also making enough beer and be able to get them kind of the supply they would need to get that out. Obviously, the small business like that we are, we would lose a little bit of money from having to go through that chain of command.
However, the new legislation could change the distribution process.
Right now, the Kentucky Guild of Brewers and the breweries in Kentucky are really pushing for, that legislation to be passed on a state level so that we would be able to swap kegs or to directly distribute our own kegs to either breweries or retailers.
Kentucky is one of a few states that has not eliminated the middleman between the breweries and the customer.
It looks like that currently there are 36 states that it is illegal to self-distribute in some form or fashion. We are one of 14 states that don't allow this at this point. So that kind of goes to show you, like, we're just a tad behind.
Breweries like Sawstone are coming together to push for the new legislation.
We've been reaching out to our legislators, and it's, it's happening all over the state, that it's kind of this grassroots movement of everyone coming together and pushing and saying, hey, listen, be aware of this. If you agree with it, please help us out. Please push it through. We would be grateful for it, and it would help us tremendously.
The new legislation in Kentucky will help reach more customers in the community.
I mean, we're passionate about beer, but we want to be a part of the community. We want to positively impact the community, regardless of whether people, drink beer or not. We still want to be a part of the community. And we've really tried to push to be more involved. And I think the self-distribution could be another layer of that.
Senate Bill 15 was introduced in the Kentucky State Senate on Wednesday. For WMKY News, I'm Daria Denisenko.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University,
providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 35 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for summer camps designed for academically gifted middle and high school students. More information online at wku.edu/gifted.
It's 42 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Shamari Mosley and Keneally Roberts. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Rachel Turner has a look at sports, but first I want to say thank you. We're so glad that you're spending this time with us this evening.
Morehead's golf teams teed off early this morning. For WMKY Sports, I'm Rachel Turner. The Morehead State men's golf team is seeking a second consecutive top 10 finish at the Old Field Invitational in Okeechobee, South Carolina today. The Eagle men wrapped up Any Given Tuesday intercollegiate, tied for 7th in the field, in their season opener last week. Meanwhile, the Morehead State women's golf team opens their season at the Mid-American Challenge in Lakewood Ranch, Florida, today. The team is looking for a second straight victory. The two-day Mid-American Challenge and the Old Field Invitational conclude on Tuesday. Live stats for both teams' events are available through GolfStat, with updates available throughout the competition on Twitter. The Morehead State University volleyball team is currently playing the second game in a series with Eastern Illinois. The Eagles beat the Panthers in yesterday's matchup 3-1. Kirsten Becker is the associate head volleyball coach at MSU. She says the new schedule makes everything a little different, but not more difficult.
So typically we play Friday, Saturday. This year we play Sunday, Monday. On the bright side, it makes traveling on the weekend a little easier with missed class. And then when we are on the road, they'll just miss some of Monday's class. But most classes are online right now, so they still get the chance to tune in live.
We will have results from today's match tomorrow morning on Morning Edition. Morehead State women's cross-country team placed first, while the men's team placed third during Friday's meet at Murray State. This was the first multi-school meet since the fall of 2019, with many new regulations in place to follow CDC guidelines. Morehead State cross-country team's head coach Clay Dixon says this is all to help prepare for the upcoming conference championship.
And now the next few weeks, it's really going to be just, you know, grinding the workouts, and then we'll see where we're at, and I'm pretty confident that we'll do well at our conference championship.
The next meet for the Morehead State cross-country teams will be held February 19th, which is the Golden Eagle International at Tennessee Tech. The Round County Senior High School girls basketball team now has a couple wins under its belt for the season. The Vikings got a slow start to the season, which has largely been hampered by the pandemic, but the team now sits with a record of 2-3. Head coach Matt Stokes has been away from the team due to COVID protocols, but says there has been a noticeable shift in morale.
Well, I haven't been with the girls for about a week and a half, 2 weeks now, but just from talking to them on the phone and, you know, having our, you know, daily coaches meetings together, it seems like everybody's feeling pretty good. So hopefully they've got some confidence going into this week.
The Vikings are set to face a busy week. They're on the road to take on George Rogers Clark tomorrow evening, followed by another road contest in Menifee Wednesday. Senior night for the girls' team is set for Saturday against East Carter. The Round County boys basketball team welcomes the Elliott County Lions tonight. The Vikings have had half their games cut due to COVID restrictions, but still managed to stay optimistic for the remainder of the season. Head coach Sean Thacker says the team is practicing and playing differently due to the COVID protocols.
You know, we're practicing in pods. We got a varsity pod, a JV pod, a freshman pod to try to help protect those groups a little bit. Our makeup of our team this year, varsity-wise, it's our juniors and seniors that we have in the program. We got 13 kids that are dressing varsity right now.
Ahead of tonight's game, the Vikings stand at 5-1 for the season. Tip-off tonight is set for 7:30. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Rachel Turner.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Main Street Medical Associates, 214 East Main Street in Morehead.
Main Street Medical Associates is now open to the Moorhead community, providing primary care and addiction services with counseling by board-certified and licensed providers. Same-day and next-day appointments for primary care, medical evaluations, occupational exams, physicals, and addiction services. In-office or telemedicine available by appointment by calling 606-784-8682. That's 784-8682. Main Street Medical Associates on Facebook and online at mainstreetmedical.live.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. All three major averages finished at record closing highs today, with the Dow up 237.86 at 31,385.76. The S&P 500 was up 28.77 at 3915.59. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 131.35, finishing at 13,987.64. And most of the stocks were very strong today, with energy particularly strong, with the energy group up over 4%. The Democratic proposal for fiscal stimulus included $14 billion for the airlines. And on that news, airline stocks were big winners today, with UAL up 5% and Delta Airlines up 5%. And Bitcoin was over $44,000 today for the first time. This on word that Tesla bought $1.5 billion of the digital asset and said it would accept payment in Bitcoin for its products. Brent crude itself was over $60 a barrel for the first time in over a year, as again, the energy sector was very strong in global trading. And in the commodities markets here in the U.S., gold was up $18.40 at $1,831 an ounce. And also oil, the West Texas Intermediate oil contract was up $1.21, finishing at $58.06. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX down $1.29 at $87.26. Marathon Petroleum up $1.83 at $49.48. Anthem was down $3.23 at $287.62. Pepsi down AEP down $1.21 at $80.98. It was App Harvest up $2.22 at $35.97. And Fifth Third Bank was up 48 cents, finishing at 32.57. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area, including the counties of Martin, Mason, and Menifee, the weather for tonight, a slight chance of rain showers between midnight and 2 a.m., cloudy with a low around 32. Tuesday, a chance of rain and snow showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 42. Tuesday night, a chance of rain showers, snow showers, and freezing rain before 1 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 28. Wednesday, freezing rain likely before 2 p.m., then rain likely, cloudy with a high near 34.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Carrie Stambo, Jonathan Burton, Keneally Roberts, Carla Haight, and Rachel Turner. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Daria Denisenko. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Shamari Mosley and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.